Welcome to the Aorta Australia podcast, your home for online dental education. Aorta is designed for dental professionals looking for clear aligner education. It's never been a better time to explore your education options online. With leveled courses available online at your fingertips, you can complete your education at your own pace, anytime, anywhere. Aorta provides a great hub for like-minded clinicians and auxiliary staff to obtain much-needed insight for clear aligners in your practice, to take your treatment planning for your patients to the next level. If you would like to find out more, visit aortaaustralia.com.au or join us on Facebook. Over to our host, Kerry Zarb, General Manager of Aorta Australia.
I am pleased to announce that joining us today is Dr. George Abdelmalek, General Dentist, La Trobe Lecturer, Vice President of ACAS, Australasian Clear Aligner Society, and Educator for Aorta Australia. Welcome, Dr. George, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Kerry. Pleasure to be here, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you have for us, and really looking forward to this session, actually.
Fantastic. Firstly, can you tell me a little bit about your early days as a general dentist? What was it like when you first left university?
Yeah, interesting question. When you first leave university, it's an exciting time, but it's also a challenging time. When you leave university, the university teaches you a lot, but it can't teach you everything. You've got 5 years worth to make you safe as a practitioner and to give you the core background of what you are to learn. And generally speaking, when I left university, I knew that my first couple of jobs were really going to set me in what direction we have, because dentistry is a big, vast profession, and although it looks quite small, if you really want to get down into further honing certain parts of your skills, you find out that it's actually quite a vast profession. So when I first left university, I actually I got accepted into a scholarship program, which for the people that might be aware of it, it's called the VDGYP. It doesn't run anymore. But essentially speaking, what it meant was I worked 4 days a week, and on the fifth day, I was one-on-one with a mentor. And that fifth day, I used to share cases with that mentor, and we used to treat patients together. And that scholarship program really appealed to me, because I was always one that understood and really valued having a mentor, because it's all well and good to self-critique yourself, but also to learn from a mentor, to me, is invaluable. And that's something that I set myself up to. So when I got accepted into this scholarship program, I was actually quite excited for it, because it meant that 4 days I'd be a wet finger dentist, which would be further developing my skills. But 1 day a week, I'd be able to sit down with this more experienced dentist. And he was in his mid-60s, but this more experienced dentist, he was a very good clinician, to sit down and talk about the things that did work, the things that didn't work, the things that I could do better. And that really set me up. And then I guess once I finished that, and that was in Albury Wodonga in regional Victoria, once I finished that, I came into my second position, which was through the dental hospital in Melbourne, but also at Freedom Dental. And at Freedom Dental, I obviously was under the mentorship of Dr. John, who I'm sure you're all aware of. And again, that was very good in terms of when you're working with an experienced clinician who's willing to teach you, you're constantly learning. And if you're not in that environment, and you are seeking mentorship, I do suggest that you look for it and you seek it out, because it is worth it. Seeking mentorship was probably the best thing that happened to my career, and it just meant that I can objectively take a step back and reassess how everything's going with the eyes of experienced clinicians to help me. So that's a little bit about the start of my general dentistry career.
So, George, what do you find the biggest hurdle for patients to accept a treatment plan for clear aligners?
When you're talking about clear aligners, you're talking about orthodontic treatment. And when you're talking about orthodontic treatment, we know there's a number of reasons why patients will source it, and there's a number of reasons why we would recommend orthodontic treatment, and we all know that, so I don't have to recap it. But the main ones being aesthetics, to improve a patient's smile and function, to relieve the patient from any untoward movement that could improve their function, or pre-restorative movement and all the rest of it. When we talk about what kind of hurdles we face, there's the first and foremost one is, especially in treating the adult population, is whether or not they should undergo something like clear aligner therapy or something like braces. and almost always the braces, the clear aligners does win out from an aesthetic point of view, but also from a hygiene point of view. So as long as I'll both able to do the same movement, I can and generally speaking within the same time frame as well, I can generally always I can pretty surely tell you that a patient will go towards clear aligners. But then once we turn around and say, okay, well, clear aligners, you want to improve your aesthetics, what's stopping you from here? The patient has to, if it's aesthetically, the patient has to, deem in their point of view that yes, it can be improved, but B, it's a problem for them. If it's not a problem for them, it's the old saying of beauty in the eye of the beholder. If their one tooth is measly tipped, but they're completely fine with it, beauty in the eye of the beholder, as long as it's not causing any harm to the occlusion or any increased wear or anything like that, generally speaking, there's no reason why the patient can't keep that and live happily. But if they accept and they feel like they want and need aesthetic improvement, generally speaking, the steps there to improve case acceptance would be to share that excitement with them, to show them simulations of what's possible, whether it be a photo simulation or whether it be a simulation through a scan, and to show them previous patients' photos that have improved their smile so they can get them motivated towards it. I guess the second thing is with regards to cost. Now, the cost of clear aligners is not a particularly cheap thing. It's not necessarily an expensive thing. It's all relative, but the cost is sometimes a hurdle, and being able to break down that cost in terms of payment plans or things like that would generally improve the case acceptance, and being competitively priced. That's not to say to be the cheapest on the market, but to be competitively priced and be aware that sometimes cost is a factor. The third thing that I would suggest to you is the confidence that you portray when you're talking about whether or not you can correct it. And that confidence comes by A, knowing that you can do the treatment, but B, also having cases under your belt to show the patient as well. So if you have that confidence, that confidence will ooze out onto the patient. Not to say, well, this maybe is not as a big deal. Whereas if you're umming and ahhing and you're going back and forth and thinking, oh, maybe I can improve it, but maybe I can't improve it, or maybe you'll get a bit of improvement, or maybe you won't, and not very definitive, that will also wear onto the patient, and all of a sudden they will wear on that concern, and generally speaking, will not believe in the confidence that you have or the competence you have. So all things considering, those will be the three main things. And then probably the fourth thing that's become a bit more adept into our clinical practice now is, especially with clear aligners, they're viewed in the patient profile a bit like being new technology. So we've found that especially practices that we've trained up, practices that utilize technology, generally speaking, look like they're at the forefront of technology, and patients will then believe into it. That they're at the forefront of their treatment, and because of that, it can improve case acceptance as well.
So, George, tell me, how do you keep a patient motivated during their treatment? If they're coming in to see you on a regular basis, you're obviously, forming a relationship with this patient, but say that the patient comes in and suddenly they've lost motivation, what can you do as a clinician to actually keep the patient motivated?
Yeah. A really good friend of mine, he always said this. He said, George, I can guarantee you that when the patient books that appointment with you, they're not coming in because they're dying to see you. They're coming in because they want to make sure that their result is on track. They're not coming in to share a conversation with you. They're not coming in to share a coffee with you. They're coming in to make sure that you can tell them that their treatment is on track, and if it's not on track, how to improve it. And that's what dental appointments are. So with that in mind, I always turn around and say, well, if the patient's coming in to make sure everything's on track, and the patient's coming in for the end result, those are two things that come into the ongoing motivation for the patient. So every appointment the patient comes in will generally have their aligner software open, showing them where they started, showing them where they are now, and showing them where they're going to be at the end, and keeping them motivated in terms of breaking it down into steps. So it's sometimes daunting to see a patient that has 40 aligners, but generally speaking, we'll turn around and say, well, at the 10 aligner mark, you'll be here, at 20 aligner mark, you'll be here, at 30 and at 40 aligner mark, you'll be here. And it just gives them checkpoints to be continually motivated. Because if you turn around and at aligner number one, you say, well, at aligner 40, you'll be here, you can see that that's going to be a little while away, so they can lose motivation. So giving them smaller checkpoints, to encourage them from that end is good. And then in terms of keeping them motivated, in terms of aligner wear, just slightly picking up on if there's any compliance issues or anything like that. Very, very important to pick up from the start. But also explaining what will happen if they don't, and find out what their key drive motivator is. So I'll give you an example. If a person's key drive key motivator is time, you turn and say, well, generally speaking, unfortunately, if you're not wearing it so well, what that's going to result in is increased time to your treatment. So that will be a motivator, because you know what their motivator is. If their increased if their number one motivator is to get that perfect smile, turn and say, well, we want to incorporate this and this and this kind of movement, and if we're not wearing it this well, or if we stop now, we're not going to get that movement, so you generally won't get the result that you're after. So it's just finding out what their key motivator is and keeping them motivated. But something that we found really good is generally speaking showing them on the computer screen where they are, where they're moving towards in smaller checkpoints, and then where their end result is, and keeping them motivated and encouraging them from there.
So, George, you touched on being mentored yourself. So how did you actually become an educator in aorta? Yeah.
Education has always been my absolute passion. Dentistry is a passion of mine, but my absolute passion is education and finding ways to transfer information in a way that is that's going to stick with the person, but that's easy to understand. And I always had the belief, and a lot of people have said it, the person that understands a topic the most can easily break it down into very easy concepts. And to me, it was always getting a difficult concept and breaking it down into very easy little bite-sized bit of information and transferring that information over. And that's where I started to become a bit more interested in education. Also, and this is to not detract from any lecturers that we've went into the past, but having studied a little bit of physiotherapy before and studied my dental degree, you do run into educators who either don't have the passion or don't have the enthusiasm to teach you, or if they do have the enthusiasm to teach you, they have all of the knowledge, but they're not breaking it down. So all of a sudden you can get very bored or disinterested from what they're trying to teach you. So going into education was more to make things interesting, but to break it down into concepts that a student can relate to, and go from there.
Thanks for joining us, Dr. George. We appreciate your time, and we hope that we will be chatting to you very shortly.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast brought to you by Aorta Australia. If you are looking for professional dental education, visit our website, aortaaustralia.com.au. We would love to receive your feedback or even a quick review. Our website provides education in a safe and secure environment, and courses are available for Level 1, Get Started with Clear Aligners, Level 2, Online Forum and Library, to share cases and get advice from educators and your peers. Aorta also provides practice management and courses with hands-on learning, from Level 3 to our two-day immersion program, and much, much more. Please visit our website, aortaaustralia.com.au, and don't forget to follow us on Facebook for all regular updates.